I want to come to God's Word together, and I trust that you will take up your Bible and you will open it at Judges, and it's Judges chapter 5, and I would like to read a portion of Scripture together. And we're reading from Judges chapter 5, but Judges chapters 4 and 5 really go together. And chapter 5 is Deborah's song of praise, and praising the Lord for the deliverance that was given, and that is detailed in chapter 4. And so we're going to read in chapter 5 of how they come in thanksgiving and praise to the Lord for His great deliverance from the oppression of the enemy. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel." Amen. We trust that the Lord will add His own blessing to this reading from His own precious and infallible Word. I would like to take as my text this morning the words there at the end of verse 7 in reference to Deborah. She said, "I arose a mother in Israel." And in the UK, it is Mothering Sunday, and I felt it would be very appropriate on this Mother's Day and to pay tribute to godly mothers and to think here of the one who was referred to as a mother in Israel. That was Deborah, described as a mother in Israel. And as we come to think of that together, I'm conscious of the need of the Lord's help for the ministry of His Word, and therefore let us take time to unite together in a brief word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the Lord's Day, and we ask, O God, that each one of us might be found in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and that Thy presence, O God, would be our abiding portion. We do think, O God, of the days in which we're living and of the crisis, O God, that the world would face at this time. And we do pray that Thou Thyself, the One who is sovereign, the One who is in control of all things, might be pleased, O God, to intervene even at this time. And we do pray, our Father, that Thou wouldst grant even great wisdom to those who are in positions of authority and responsibility. Thou wouldst grant to them that needed wisdom, give guidance in these days. And even, O God, as we've mentioned by way of appeal for prayer, we do remember our health workers. We do commit our doctors, our nurses, our care workers to Thee. We remember, O God, today the elderly, those who are vulnerable. Many, O God, are filled with fear in these days. But we pray that it would indeed create that concern within the hearts of individuals, that they might get right with God. They might know that repentance toward God, that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, our Father, we do not have to live in dread or fear, but we thank Thee that we can live in faith. We can trust in our Lord and Savior, the One who has promised never to leave, never to forsake His people. And, O Lord, that we would know Thine abiding presence with us and the peace of God within our hearts. And on this Mothering Sunday, we do return Thee thanks, O God, for mothers and Lord, for their love and for their care and for their devotion to the family and even before Thee. And we pray, O God, as we look into Thy Word just now, and we consider Deborah, who was a mother in Israel, that Thou wouldst bless Thy Word to our hearts, do strengthen our faith in Thee, and grant that even now each one of us would have that listening ear and that understanding heart, and in everything that would be said, may the Lord Jesus Christ alone have all the preeminence. We ask these things in His great name. Amen. Well, there are two ladies in the Bible with the name of Deborah. And the first one is mentioned in the book of Genesis, and she was a nursemaid to Rebekah. She's referred to in Genesis chapter 24 and the verse 59, although she is not named there. But she is named later in Genesis chapter 35 and the verse 8. And that was at the time of her death. It tells us that the name of Rebekah's nurse was Deborah. She was buried under an oak, and that place where she was buried was named Alon Bakuth, and that means the oak of weeping. So there was one who was certainly mourned for, and one who was missed, and she was the nurse who was named Deborah. And it is very appropriate at this time, even as we think about nurses and those who were in the front line, we owe them at this time a great debt of gratitude. And we would ask you to remember again to pray for our nurses. So that was the first Deborah in the Bible, mentioned in the book of Genesis as the nursemaid to Rebekah. But the second Deborah, she's mentioned here in the book of Judges, where we have been reading, and we find that she was a judge in Israel. Now, we know nothing of her background, but it is possible that maybe her parents knew of the first Deborah, knew of the nursemaid to Rebekah, and knew of her love and her care, and maybe they decided to name their daughter after Deborah, the nursemaid. And Deborah in Judges lived up to her name, because she was referred to here in her text as a mother in Israel. And as hopefully we will see here together, she was one of a loving disposition and of that caring nature and character. And so as we think of Deborah, I want to look at her in her various roles and from different viewpoints. And firstly, we would think of her as a woman. Now, that may be stating the obvious as we think of Deborah as a woman. But in chapter 4 and the verse 4, we can see the references there to her. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And there you can see her, this woman, described in those different ways. And as a prophetess, she had the ability to discern the will of God. She was one who was in touch with the Lord, one who was a spiritual woman who knew the mind of the Lord. And she was a wife. She had that role as well. And we learn from this verse, chapter 4 and verse 4, that she judged Israel at that time. She was the fifth judge of Israel. And in chapter 4 and the verse 9, just there at the end of the verse, you can see the reference to a woman, a woman. And really that would later show it was a reference to Jael. But surely here we would have to say that it involves Deborah as well. And that's the way I want us to see her here. Firstly, we see her as a woman. And it was back in a time when perhaps women were not treated well. Women were looked upon as being subordinate to men, being subservient to men. But Scripture teaches us that women are equal before God. When Paul was writing to the Galatians in chapter 3 and the verse 28, he said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul was wanting to show that men and women, male and female, are equal in the eyes of God. They do, however, have different roles before God, different responsibilities before God, but one is not superior and the other inferior. They are both equal before the Lord. In fact, it was the gospel that rescued women from being downtrodden. It was the gospel that gave women their proper place. Even though the Apostle Peter refers to women as the weaker vessel in 1 Peter 3 and the verse 7, he's speaking there in general, physically and emotionally. We could say that the woman is the weaker vessel, but not spiritually. No, there are women like Deborah here in the scriptures before us who prove their strength of character and prove that they can be spiritual giants before the Lord. Here's a woman who makes her mark for God. Here's a woman who has an impact upon history, an impact upon the society and the day and age in which she lived. And there have been many such women down through the generations and even in the history of the church and service for the Lord. You could think of Amy Carmichael, that little girl from Mullaill in County Down. And after a short time in Japan, she went then to Africa. And Amy Carmichael labored for 55 years without ever leaving that country. The famous words attributed to Amy Carmichael, she said, "Let me not stoop to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God." Another woman who made her mark for the Lord. There's also Gladys Aylward, just a parlor maid, but she felt the call of God to China, and she showed great faith and fortitude. She had great courage, and perhaps you've seen the film that's an adaptation of her life and her labors when she led the dozens and dozens of children over the mountainous region, leading them from the war zone to safety. Another woman who made her mark for the Lord. Then there was Mary Slessor, another example. She heard the appeal from David Livingstone for missionaries to go to Africa. And there was the little girl from Aberdeen, and for 39 years she served the Lord in the mission field in Africa. Women who make their mark for the Lord. You maybe have heard at least a line or two of that poem by William Ross Wallace. He said, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." And he was wanting to show that preeminent role of motherhood and of the force that women have. And so on this Mothering Sunday, we can thank God for spiritual mothers and for spiritual women. And Deborah was such a mother in Israel. But we notice her not only as a woman, we notice her here secondly as a wife. And if you were to glance back again to Judges chapter 4 and the verse 4, you can see there that she was the wife of Lapidoth. So as well as being a prophetess and as well as being the judge in Israel, she was a wife. And so evidently she had a home life. While she may have had many public responsibilities, she had that responsibility at home as a wife. And it was one of those situations here where the wife had a more prominent and a more public role than her husband had. And there are examples of that even today. You could think of the queen of our nation. And you can think of the prominent and public role that she would have. And then there's her husband. There's the Duke of Edinburgh. And whenever you see the queen, he's there in the background. And so it's that situation of husband and wife, but the wife having the more prominent role. Maybe there are some listening could remember back to the days of Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. There, standing in her shadow on many occasions, you could see her husband, Dennis. And so there are occasions when between husband and wife, the wife will have that more prominent role. That was the case here in this home with Lapidoth and with Deborah. And that name, Lapidoth, it actually means a torch or a lamp. And so the name suggests here that he was one who shone brightly. He may not have been so much to the fore as his wife was, but maybe in a less public profile, in a quieter, humbler way, he was still one who shone. And in fact, it takes a special man to be able to rule his own home with such a prominent wife as he had here in Deborah. He was obviously a man of great meekness, but I suspect he was a great support to his wife, would have had that love for her, that encouragement and that sympathetic ear when I'm sure she would have needed that. And therefore, of all the roles that we could see Deborah having here, being a wife was not the least of those roles. It's one of those greatest roles to fulfill. And of course, the Bible speaks much concerning the family and home life and that relationship between the husband and the wife. And Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 5 and the verse 26, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's sacrificial love. And so as we think here of Deborah today, we see her as a woman and we see her as a wife. But I want you to notice her as well as a worker, a worker. The name Deborah, it actually means bee. And the bee is known for its busyness. The bee is known for its activity and for its industry. And you can picture the bee in your mind's eye, and it's going from one activity to another. There's that constant labor. That's what Deborah was. Deborah was the busy bee. And really, it's a great picture of the mother in the home. And the mother is known as one who can multitask and one who can do so many jobs and carry out so many responsibilities all at the one time. I have to confess, as a husband, we can only do the one job at a time and maybe not do that so well, but we concentrate on one thing. The woman, they have that ability to multitask, just like the bee. And Deborah here was the busy bee, and she's busy in her labors. We've noticed again from that verse 4 in chapter 4 that she was busy as a prophetess, she would have been busy as a wife, and she was busy as she judged Israel. Verse 5, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. They came looking that counsel. They came looking Deborah to pray. They came looking the mind and the will of the Lord from her. And I'm sure she was very busy. And she knew what it was at times to be weary. But she was one who labored. She was a worker. And God wants us to be laborers. The Lord wants us to labor for him. Matthew 21 and the verse 28, the Lord Jesus said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Are we busy for the Lord today? Are we seeking to labor for him? The Lord would want us to take up every opportunity, and in the circumstances that we find ourselves in right across our land and nation, there's great opportunity to show that act of kindness in the name of the Lord, for our loved ones, for our family, our friends, our neighbors, for society in general. There are many today living in fear, and we should be reaching out to them by way of help and encouragement. The Lord said to His people, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And we follow the example of our Lord and Savior Himself in relation to His labors. He said in John 9 and verse 4, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." And so we can see in Deborah what a wonderful example she is to us all when we think of her as a woman and as a wife and as a worker. But I want you to see her in the fourth place as a warrior. Seems strange, but she was a warrior. She battled for the Lord. Glancing back again into that fourth chapter, you can see the conditions of the day in which she was living. In verse 2, "And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel." And so the children of Israel were being oppressed by the enemy. It had gone on year after year for a period of 20 years. And Deborah was one who was not prepared to just accept that. She wasn't prepared to accept the low condition, the low spiritual condition of her day. And she battled to change it. She sought to stir the people and to arouse God's people to action. In chapter 4 and verse 6, she went there and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, "Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun?" And they wanted to muster here an army of 10,000 men to go and to face the enemy, even though they would have been greatly outnumbered. Sisera had his 900 chariots of iron. But here they showed that determination that they would go forward and face the enemy, knowing they had the Lord on their side. And Deborah was such a warrior for the Lord. The result was that the enemy was routed, and the victory was attributed to the hand of the Lord. Just glancing down chapter 4 to the verse 15, it says, "And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But it was the Lord who discomfited Sisera." Then looking down as well to the 23rd verse of chapter 4, "So the Lord subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel." There was the Lord intervening on behalf of His people. There was the Lord giving the victory to those who were prepared to stand and to do battle in His name. And therefore, under God, Deborah was able to rescue God's people and to see them being delivered from their foes in her day. And today, we need spiritual warriors today. We need soldiers of the Lord. We need those who are prepared to stand faithful to the Lord. And Paul, in writing to the Ephesians in chapter 6, he said to God's people, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all, to stand." In a day whenever sin and evil seems to prevail, We need to seek to be faithful to the Lord, to be soldiers of the Lord. And again, Deborah is a great example of that. She was a warrior for the Lord. But there's something else that I want you to notice here about Deborah. She was a worshiper. And that's really where we read in Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5 is the song of praise. It's thanksgiving to the Lord for His great deliverance that was wrought there in chapter 4. And you can see the opening words of chapter 5. Then sang Deborah and Barak. And in verse 2, what are they singing? They're singing, "Praise ye the Lord." That's a hallelujah. Giving praise to the Lord for the great deliverance that He has wrought on their behalf. And here's a song of triumph in worship to the Lord. But as we read down some of this song of praise to the Lord, it does refer back to the conditions that they found themselves in and why God's people needed to be delivered. And it proves very interesting reading, given the circumstances that prevail in our land today. And it was Matthew Henry that drew this to my attention, and it proves interesting when you look there at verse 6. It says, "In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied." And so he was stretching here a particular period, really, from the days of Shamgar right up to the present days of Jael. The highways were unoccupied. There was no travel. I had to venture out yesterday for just a short message, and there was that eerie absence of people in the streets. There was no travel. Well, that's right here in this portion of Scripture. Verse 7, you could look at what verse 7 refers to. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel. And so it's showing us here that there was no trade. The villages ceased. Israel ceased. Commerce had come to a standstill and no one was working. Imagine how that would have affected the economy then. Verse 8speaks to us about trouble. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? May the hearts had just really sunk completely. People were disheartened because of the trouble that was abroad. The circumstances that they found themselves in, that they had no defense. Today we're facing an invisible enemy. This COVID-19 virus that is spreading across the world on a global universal scale. And it's causing much sorrow and misery and heartache. And we can see today that there's no travel. We can see it's affecting trade. We can see that it's causing trouble to many. It sounds familiar here. It shows us right away that the Bible is up to date for today. And we can take great heart and encouragement from the Word of God. I encourage you to be reading much in the Scriptures of truth, that we might know God's Word to be a lamp onto our feet and a light onto our path. And it was in such circumstances, with such a background, that we read there in the 7th verse of chapter 5, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. There was the intervention. The intervention that came from Deborah with the leading and the guiding of the Lord, and she became that mother in Israel. She was one who had a love for the people, had a care, had a desire to see them delivered. A mother in Israel, but you'll not read of her children. It's a reference to being a mother to her people, the children of Israel. She was a spiritual mother. You know, that's a great need for today. You don't have to have experienced motherhood in that sense. You can still be a spiritual mother. That's what Titus encourages God's people to be. Whenever he wrote to Titus there in Titus chapter 2 and the verse 4, he's referring there to the aged women. And he says that they may teach the young women. And so there's a responsibility there for the older women, even in the church today, to be teaching the younger women. And what are they to teach them? Teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We need mothers in Israel today. Deborah in her day was the means of deliverance, but Deborah's deliverance speaks to us of the greater deliverance, the deliverance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he delivers from sorrow, from misery, from oppression of the adversary, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who loved his children so much that he went to that center cross at Calvary. He poured out his sinless blood unto death. The sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't it good on this Mothering Sunday, when we think of a mother's love, that we can think of the greatest love of all, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. And for each one who comes to saving faith in the Lord Jesus, they know the love of God being shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given unto them. And as Paul tells the Romans in Romans chapter 8, that whenever we're shut in to the love of God in Christ Jesus, there's nothing shall be able to separate us from that love. Not even COVID-19. We're saved, we're secure in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his love. We can abide in his love. We can continue in his love. We can know the peace of God within our hearts, knowing it is well with our soul, and that there's nothing in life, nothing in death, nothing in eternity that shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts. Thank you for listening. Amen.